Blog Talk Radio.
Sinners, get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is doing
what you're gonna do.
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart in order.
What you gonna do?
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 And we are now in our
day of our new year, 2015. And we're looking for God to do great things in the lives of his people. And so we're going to now go on into a program and into a live service that's already in progression. I want you to get your chip and your dip and everything you want to sip. Get your pillow to cushion your position. And I want you to get your Bible out. Those of you that have Bibles, if you don't have a Bible, you can just get your iPhone and your iPad and your notebook and all your digital devices, and you can go along with me as I read the divine word of God. You can take down the scripture reading and the notes for your own edification. And may God richly bless you that's tuned in on tonight. And our sermon entitled Peace in the Midst of Opposition. I want to say that one more time. Peace in the midst of opposition. We're going to read our first key scripture on tonight. And the word of God reads like this. So in the world, hallelujah, you will have tribulations. Thank you, Father God. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of John 16 and 33. And we're going to now go on to our second key scripture for tonight. And it reads this. It says that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That scripture reading can be found in the law of Philippians 4 and 7. Hallelujah. And I just want to bring this before you, just for your own understanding and FYI. We know that we're living in a world that can be cold and cruel sometimes in our lives. But if you think of this world as a place intended simply for our happiness, you'll find it quite intolerable. Just think of it as a place of training and correction, and it's not so bad. Sometimes we expect that life should be happy and pain-free, but that is not what the Bible teaches us. For the believer, this world is a place of spiritual development through both good and bad times. We know that Jesus was realistic when he explained what to expect in life. He told his disciples, in the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That scripture reading again is coming out of the law of John 6 and 33. In facing life's blessings and bruises, we can have the inner peace that God is orchestrating events according to his sovereign plan. We know that Christ's presence in our lives, it enables you and I to be of good cheer. Even in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your tsunami, spiritually, he who heart is kind beyond all measures. Give unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly is part of pain and pleasure, mingling tall with peace and rest. We know that in the midst of troubles, peace can be found in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we can just take our mind back to days of old. We find out that during a major economic downturn several years ago, many people had lost their jobs. Hallelujah. And sadly, although their livelihood was uncertain, they continually to depend on God. And God cares for you. I want you to know that on tonight. Don't think that you are in this life all by yourself, because you are not alone. Christ is with you every step of your journey, each and every day. God is only a whisper prayer away. And we know that believers in Christ can have peace in the midst of uncertainty, because we have the assurance that our Heavenly Father gives His children, hallelujah, give His children, hallelujah, God, and guard their heart. Thank you, Father, and their minds through Christ. He knows that Christ cares for our needs. That scripture reading can be found in the law of Matthew 6:25-34. And we can bring all of our concerns. You can bring all your concerns, all your cares, all your trials, all your tribulations to Him. And with an attitude of thankfulness and trusting Him to meet our needs and give us peace. That scripture reading can be found in the law of Philippians 4:6-7. And we know that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, the Apostle Paul said that will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus, verse 7. And to say the peace of God surpasses all understanding reveals that we cannot explain it, but we can experience it as He guards our heart and our minds. We know that our peace comes from the confidence that the Lord gives us, and He is in control. He alone provides the comfort, and it settles your and mind's nerves. It fills our mind with hope and allows us to relax even in the midst of change and challenges. And we can pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that you're all wise and you're all powerful and you're all loving. In the midst of uncertainties, help us, God, to rest in the certainty of who you are. And I thank you, hallelujah, that your peace will guide our hearts. And my peace rests in you. You will keep him in perfect peace, who mine is stayed on you. Hallelujah, Father God. Thank you. Thank you, God. We know that you're worthy to be praised. And we know that we're finding now a lot of tragedy is going on in our family lives. We find out that the spouses and the loved ones are just feel like they're fed up with life and that they don't have anything to live for. Maybe be monetarily that they're lacking in their life, love that they're lacking in their life, you know, friendship that they might be lacking in their lives, and they feel like it's no need to live any longer, and they just take the easy road out, and they not only take their lives, but they're taking each and every individual that are in their pathway. I want to let you know on tonight that we're going to have to be vigilant, we're going to have to be mindful, and we're going to have to be prayerful and pray for the people that enter your doors of your homes and your workplaces. You're going to have to pray that peace will enter your home and that the demonic spirit don't come along and try to take your life, because the world did not give you life. God gave you life. And we know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. That is his M.O. He knows that he is about to be ejected from his seat. And so he wants to take out each and every individual that he can. But you can pray, and you can just send that demon out running. You can send him running out the back door, turn him around in his tracks, and send him off in a hurry. But it takes prayer. It takes prayer and the power of God to intervene on our behalf. And I'll tell you, it's so sad. I just heard that come across the airwaves again on this evening about a husband had taken out his family members and his children, even in their 30s. You know, it's so sad because they hadn't even begun to live yet. Just beginning to live, then the devil want to take you out. But you can, I tell you, you can bind that demon and send him back to the pit of hell in which he came. God said, I come that you might have life, not that you might have death, not that you might have sickness, because we know that God took 39 stripes for our sickness upon that cross. And so we know God's word said that he came that you and I might have life, and that we might have life more abundantly. So we just need to pray and be vigilant. And even if it's our family members, keep your eyes and your ears open to tragedies that might intervene in your life. Because you can be happy one moment and then sad in the very next. But it's going to take prayer. Saints of God and friends and colleagues and kinship family and you alike, is going to take our prayers going up to God that will keep us in perfect peace. God said, those who keep their mind on me, I will keep you in perfect peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we know that our connection between our desires for the immediate and the lust simply means that I must have this at once. Some of us feel like because we didn't get a Christmas gift that it's all over, that no one loves us. But just think, don't think of the have-nots, but think on the good things that God has already established and provided in your life. You have your health and strength. You have a roof over your head, clothes on your back. You might not have all the currency that you might desire, but if you keep on trusting and believing in God, God will bless you according to his riches and glory. Don't count it out that you're not loved because you didn't get that desired Christmas gift. Because it's Christmas every day that we're able to stand on our feet and to use our extremities. We are blessed. Some of us don't even have legs to walk. Some of us don't even have feet to go in shoes, arms to go in sleep. So we have a whole lot to be thankful for. So don't get into a stampede because your husband or wife or your son or your daughter or your niece or nephew or grandparents or aunts or uncles and colleagues and business partners did not get you that desired gift that you desired. Because you can go out and splurge on yourself, and that will make you feel the utmost of beautiful and of importance. But don't let the enemy take your life out over, something that you didn't get for Christmas. Because it's Christmas 365 days out of the year. It is Christmas. And it's Jesus is the reason for this season. It's not about us, but it's about Jesus. He is the who I am, the great I am. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he reigns forever and ever. And like I said, we say in our heart that I must have this at once. It may be a bodily appetite or a spiritual obsession. A possession. But you say in your heart that I cannot wait for God's time. God is too indifferent. That is the way lust works. We read in the law of Psalms 27. We know that David wrote of his waiting on God during a time of great trouble when there was no solution in sight. Instead of giving in to despair, he maintained his confidence that he would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We know that we live in a world that worships the immediate. When it seems there is no signs of our deepest loneliness and began to fulfill, the psalmist urges you and I to cling to the eternal God. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so we can take this to heart. To help me, O Lord. Help us, O Lord. Help them, O Lord. To be content, my lips to fill to every vain desire each within, every whim. Instead, we are to kneel, acknowledging thee, Lord and King. And in that place to kneel, to pray, is to wait until I see thy face. We know that the answer of our craving for the immediate is to focus on the eternal. Hallelujah. And we also know that the feeling of failure, hallelujah, we find out that Paul experienced before his conversion to Jesus Christ. He recorded in Romans 8:16-25. Here it describes, hallelujah, the eternal conflict that kept him from doing what he knew was right and constrained him to do what he knew was wrong. For Paul, this paradoxical tension in human nature will account for the rebellious self-assertiveness that serves our obedience relationship to God and make fruitful any effort to establish an agape, that means love, community on earth. Now, Paul respected the role of the state in maintaining order. However, he confused to equate political order with the agape, the community that God gives through the atoning sacrifice of Christ, which frees us from the bondage of sin. And it imbues us with the divine love and power to transform our prudential social structure into communities of love. And having received reports that bickering, pride, conceit, and intolerance toward the diversity of spiritual gifts and vocation were polluting the experience of community among Christians in Rome, Paul sought to resolve his problem of spirit by urging these Christians to offer their bodies as living sacrifice to the will of God. Previously, sacrifice had been associated with the offering of valuable objects to appease the gods until viewed by early Christians as a symbol of God's gift of Jesus for redemption, hallelujah, and salvation of man. But Paul gave the symbol a moral meaning by asserting that persons cannot be transformed into new creatures until they offer themselves as living sacrifice to God and receive the power of divine love poured out on us by the Holy Spirit, thereby enabling us to participate in God's perfect agape, love and community. And our sermon on tonight was peace in the midst of oppression. Peace in the midst of opposition. Excuse me. So I want you to just start off this new year of 2015 and say, I might not have what I desire, but I have what I need. And God said in his word that he would supply all of our needs, not all of our desires. God will give us some of our desires. But God promised to give us all of our needs, and he would supply our needs according to his riches in glory. And in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something, hallelujah, to impact your spirit and infuse your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, your encouragements and your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station has been brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondence. Make them attentive too. Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Till we meet again across these skyways and highways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. We will now change the dynamics of this program, bringing you hymns of Zion to uplift your spirit and infuse your heart. Till we meet again, you buckle up with Jesus at the wheel. He is people-friendly, just like your American Express card. Don't leave home without him. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now.
Upon this lady, You were born with a grace. That grace is your gift. It's a divine enablement. If you work your grace, the grace will work for you. Company, teach the lesson. Yes, they will.
Good.
No gift works for you.
It looks good on you.
My gift works for me.
The gift looks good.
Yeah.